Well, I appreciate all you guys being here. Thank you so much for allowing this opportunity. I do have like a outline just because sometimes my words get jumbled up. So if I'm looking down, excuse me. OA has been very important to me. It has changed my life drastically. I call it my journey because I've been through quite a bit this year. A lot of you guys have been able to see my progress from the beginning to the end to now. So it's not the end. The OA and the 12 steps is ongoing. It's a lifetime commitment. So my food history. I was raised by my grandmother. She had 9 kids. So she was used to making large meals. And when she raised me, my little sister, and my little cousin when we were young. And soul food was her thing. So we, you know, a lot of fried foods. And so like as early as I can remember, I remember every morning at 5 o'clock, I ate cream of wheat with brown sugar, sugar, and butter. I remember that. So our meals were more like, you know, we had our breakfast, cereal, oatmeal, all that kind of stuff. We had large lunches and then we had a dessert. And then we had dinner and we had a dessert. And we had like a snack in between lunch and dinner, and it was normally dessert. But I never really considered myself being a compulsive overeater. When I became 18, I, you know, began working, and I worked at a small grocery store. I was a cashier. It was a Polish grocery store, and right across the cash register was the rack where all the candy bars are. So I started eating like, you know, candy bars, and it was at this place, you could like charge your things that you buy and it'll take it out of your paycheck. So I was just eating a lot of candy bars constantly. When I was 18, I also was working and going to school at the same time. So fast food became a big part of my life too, because I actually had 2 jobs and going to school at one point. And so fast food was a big part. You know, I was always going to fast food restaurants. I wasn't even eating at home anymore. And I've tried many different things, many different diets, you know, programs, like spiritual programs. I did one like a religious program for, I don't know if I would say food addiction, but to eat healthier. And I lost a little bit of weight because I had a goal to lose 30 pounds so I can fit in a certain dress for my renewing my vows. And so I went without my main trigger foods, cold turkey, for 4 months. And then after I renewed my vows, it was Easter Sunday, my 10th year wedding anniversary. After I was finished, I had a cupcake and it spiraled from there. Not only did I gain the 30 pounds back, but much more, you know. And before OA, my first meeting was October 28th, 2019. And before OA, I was in such a desperate state. I was in a very living in shame and guilt to where I couldn't even look myself in the mirror. I'm a binge eater. And so I would come home from work and I always stopped at gas stations because they're very convenient and quick and easy. And so I would go in the gas station, get like 3 to 4 king size candy bars and eat them all before I'm sorry, I shouldn't mention food, but I would eat the trigger foods in 5 minutes before I had to make it home. It was terrible. You know, I remember sneaking food under my car. I had my kids in the car with me one day and my daughter knows that I eat sweets. And so she snuck up under my car and found some open box that was, the food was gone of my trigger foods. And I remember my son in the front seat, he's 13 now. He looked at me in disgust and he told me, you know, Mom, why? And at that point I knew I had to do something. And so December 27, 2019 was the last time I had my trigger food. My husband did a cruel trick. He put spices on it and it was burning me so bad. And I think that's when I was like, okay, I'm done. I got to do something here. I remember my first meeting and I was hooked. The very first meeting, I was hooked. I remember trying to buy all the literature I saw on the tables. I was hooked. And then I think my second to third meeting, I went after the person chaired. I was like, I need a sponsor. I want a sponsor. And she told me, you know, just come to more meetings. The number was six. Come to six meetings. And if you like it, then try to, you know, figure that out. And then I remember, too, when I start coming to the meetings, it was between October and December. I would stop at a place, get a bunch of junk food, and eat it in the parking lot of the church before I would come to the OA meeting. I don't know. I think at that time I felt like, you know, because I had a disease, I had an excuse to eat what I wanted, you know, before abstinence. But like I said, I was hooked to the program, but I wasn't, it took me a little while to become abstinent. And then I finally found a sponsor that helped me tremendously. I waited after a while after, you know, it being advised that I should wait. It was tremendous. You know, I remember the sponsor telling me, I was like, am I a step one? She was like, no, you're at step zero. I remember that. I was working with her for a while, you know, and she walked me through the, you know, through the steps and stuff like that. Step one, I'm going to kind of walk myself through the steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. And before OA, it was unmanageable. I couldn't deal with it. I mean, I was grumpy, angry at work, sluggish to where I didn't do anything at home but sleep. You know, it just, you know, my moods were all crazy. It was very unmanageable. And then step two came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I don't want to say, I mean, all the steps take work, but this one was a little easier for me because I am a religious person and I do believe in a higher power for OA. And so I believe that power was greater. And then, you know, step three with my sponsor was the hardest. It took me a while to get step three. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. You know, like I said, I'm a religious person and I felt like this step was going to be easier for me. But I think in the OA book, and it may have mentioned it in the big book, where it said, like, you know, some religious people struggle more with the spiritual aspect of the program than agnostics. And I was really struggling because I felt like, should I put OA, you know, over my, you know, my religion or anything? I couldn't correlate the two together, you know, because I wanted the spiritual awakening and I wanted it like right now. I thought it was like a one and done deal. You know, you get the spiritual awakening and, you know, and then you move on. Now I understand step three. It took a while, but it finally clicked. And then as I was going through these three steps, I wanted a food plan. When I stopped eating my trigger foods, I lost quite a bit within the first month, just off the bat. I lost 26 pounds just within a month, just stopping the trigger foods. But I didn't have a food plan. And so there is something I got hooked on to called the OA email loop. And I got connected with this lady and she introduced me to a food plan. It's like a gray sheet or something. And it was super strict. It was like, I wasn't eating anything. And I felt so deprived and everything. And so I don't know, eventually I was, you know, kind of reporting my food to her every day, but it kind of got weird. The relationship kind of got a little weird. I was working with kind of like two sponsors per se, but I always wanted a food plan, but I have not really always followed a food plan, but I do have one now. And then step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. I was more than willing to do that step because I wanted to get it all out and open. I wanted to move on with my recovery. I did two different things. I did out of the big book, I used that outline from the big book. And then I also did the OA workbook. I think in that chapter list, I think we went over like all those different questions. And in the OA workbook, it has those same questions and you can fill it out. And so what I did is I write very small. So I dated it and wrote answered the questions at that time. And I have it, a lot of the lines empty. So if I need, if or when I go back to step four, I have more room to do so. So like I said, step four was, I was glad to do it. But step five is where I was like, oh goodness, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. I was truly nervous for that step. Because I'm like, oh, I'm getting ready to reveal my deep, darkest secrets to someone. And then I have a story about that. I did step five with my sponsor, and I appreciated, the not feedback per se, but the understanding, and she wasn't judgmental. And it was like a big relief off my shoulders. And I felt so much freedom. But I left my book, my notebook out, and my husband read my four-step inventory. He thought that he was supposed to read it because I left it out. So that was a little awkward. And so I had to admit it to someone else he didn't quite understand. So, but at the same time, he was, at the end of it, he was glad to hear it, and step four, like I said, it just gave me so much peace and relief and freedom, but I was completely nervous about that one. And then step six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. That was another step that I was ready to do. I have a lot of, a different defect, and I don't want defects to hold me back, And so I was more than willing to list those defects. I just was ready for that step because I want to be, I guess I can say I'm kind of a perfectionist, and I want to be as perfect as possible. But I know now it's progress, not perfection. And you learn every day, you progress, more and more, but you'll never be really perfect. So I was ready for that step. And then humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. As I, prayed for that, I think OA book also talks about, the defects won't go away right away. And like I said, with step six, I wanted them gone immediately. In this program, I wanted a lot of things to be done immediately, like right now, and it doesn't work that way. But I noticed changes in me. I did notice that the defects were starting to go away per se, but I did notice the changes. Step eight, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. I had to just figure out the amends. At first I was like, I don't have any amends. I'm good to everybody. I don't have any beef with anyone. But as I got to list things out, like write everything out, I noticed that I had to make more amends than I thought. I had to really, go to my HP, have my HP help me to anything that was coming to mind to write it down. And I had quite a bit of a list. And the same thing with step four, going to my HP, because to have my HP bring things to mind. And it worked. And then step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. This was another step where I was extremely nervous because I didn't know what the result was going to be, how people was going to accept my amends. But I did it. I had some direct amends to make, and I had some indirect amends to make because my father passed away in 2017, and we didn't have a relationship, because he didn't raise me. I was able to write a letter and put it with his ashes, and that was my indirect amends. So I was able to get the amends done. This was another step that took me a while to do. And I did it as best as I, could. Sometimes, you can't find the person or it's hard to find them. But, I did make my amends. I was nervous. I had a couple people that I apologized to. And actually, it turned out okay. I didn't have anyone yelling and screaming at me. They were willing to forgive me. I had even one person who was like, I'm not even worried about it. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Thank God that worked out, even though I was nervous. And then step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. I have a OA app where it has the 10-step inventory. And, you know, I'm a little savvy with the, you know, apps and, you know, on my smartphone. So the writing, I don't, well, I still do like journaling, but when my 10-step inventory and my spot check inventory, I'm able to just kind of jot something down in the app. And it does ask, you know, were you resentful? Were you selfish? Were you dishonest? Like from the big book. And so I do that every night and send it to my sponsor. And I noticed that I was kind of skimming through it every night, you know, because like, you know, I have kids, I have husband, I work. So, and then I do a lot of meal prep, so I wouldn't get to it till later at night. So I would just, you know, skim through the list, you know, and fill it out. And then after, you know, I was telling my sponsor that I need to sit down and actually take the time to do that inventory. And when I did, you know, it made me think about the actual question, and it made me think about what I like, if I was resentful, to really be thorough. So 10 step for me is really about being super thorough, you know, make sure you get it all out. And then step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and to carry that out. This step I'm currently kind of working on right now. Prayer, I got it. I wasn't doing it as consistently as I should have. But meditation is one that kind of, you know, I struggle with, you know, because I always think meditation is you sitting on a yoga mat and, you know, kind of zenning, like, you know, but meditation, you know, is about listening to your higher power and to figure out what they're telling you and letting your HP's will be your will, you know. And so I'm starting to get into a routine where, you know, I wake up in the morning and then I'll read the On Awakening, and it's on the OA map as well from the big book, you know, kind of go through that and then do, you know, my spiritual work in the morning. I have to wake up really early, so I'm not always consistent with that, but I'm, like I said, I'm still working on it. Progress, not perfection. So I'm, you know, but I feel like step 11 is very important because that is how you connect with your HP. Because in this program, you can't do it in your own strength. You really can't. You know, I've tried and tried and prayed and prayed, and I just couldn't. I didn't have the willpower to do it. And so it's, I give all the glory and all the credit to my HP. And then step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. That's when I was talking about my spiritual awakening. I finally understand it now. And I can see the difference in me. And people can see the difference in me. And right now, there is a person that I work with who demonstrates very compulsive overeating behaviors. And so I've been kind of talking to him about the program and stuff like that. I'm still kind of secretive about it, but I think it was in October. My coworkers, we did a luncheon to celebrate my 100-pound weight loss. And so, because they kept asking, how are you doing it? How are you doing it? And then at the luncheon, and they made all the abstinent foods that I could have. And so, but they didn't understand what I was doing. And so I finally, I guess, came clean and told them about OA. And they were very impressed. I had one coworker ask me about the steps. You know, I list out the steps to her and what they meant and things like that. And they were very accepting and loving. I have one coworker who jokes with me now saying, I wish you didn't do OA because I want you to be mean again, you know? And so like, cause I'm to the point where I let things go. I don't let things bother me. Cause I think there was a time where I was on a diet per se. And I saved a piece of food that I wanted for my abstinence, I guess, at that time. And my coworkers ate it and I was mad. to where I had a full-blown attitude at all my coworkers. And so the next day I put signs all over my locker and the refrigerator and things saying, don't touch my food. You know, I was really mean. And so now I just let things roll and they're like, man, this is crazy, you know? And so like now, you know, I'm on a food plan and I've been sticking to it. And this program has brought like a lot of new awareness. I remember when I first was started being abstinent and I was going through some kind of stress and I was crying and I told my husband, I wish I can have this right now. And if I had this food right now, I'll be much better. And then I realized, oh, I'm an emotional eater and I'm a compulsive overeater, because before I just thought I just binge because I just like food. And I didn't think that I was an emotional eater. And so it just brought all kind of different awareness, you know, to me, made me more mindful of different things. Because like once I became abstinent from the main trigger foods, other foods were getting scary to me, to where I had to like, it was like I was going to other foods and I wanted to binge on them, but I was aware and I was able to stop myself. Oh, like, okay, I'm eating too much of this and I don't want, you know, it to go to where I'm binging. So it just brought a lot of new awarenesses to me. And like I said, my husband, not too long ago, he said, what made the difference this time? You know, because I've tried so many different things. I even tried this cream that I rubbed on my belly every night and you wrap it up to try to get rid of the belly fat. I don't know where I got that from, but I was so desperate to lose this weight. You know, I would pray to my higher power and ask him to lose the weight, but I wasn't willing to let go of my trigger foods. I wanted to eat what I wanted to eat and at the same time lose weight. I am just truly grateful for this program. It has changed my life. And like I was saying, my husband was saying, what made the difference this time? And I told him the 12 steps. The 12 steps is what made the difference. And, you know, having my OA friends to just be understanding and not judgmental, it really just helped me so much. And so I changed my profile picture. I'm going to stop my video and let you guys see the new picture that I put up. The bigger picture was May of 2019, couple months before I started OA. And the other picture is I took this morning. So I lost a total of 116 pounds since last May and 86 pounds since January when I became abstinent. If this program works, if you work it. And I am in awe. You know, I am just completely in awe because I never thought in a million years that I could ever lose the weight. But not only, you know, the program is not just about weight. You know, it's about a life change, a lifetime change. And I have changed so much, you know, and, you know, spiritually, I've changed mentally, emotionally. Like I said, people at work, they see I'm more joyful. You know, at home, I do a lot. For Thanksgiving, I went to Toledo to see my sister. And she, in pictures she saw before, she said I looked like I was lifeless. And because before OA, that's what I was. I had no drive, nothing, no motivation, anything. And so she gave me a hug and told me, sorry if I get emotional. She told me she was so proud of me. And this is the sister that she's always wanted. Like I said, it's the 12 steps. It's changed me so much. And so that is my journey. And like I said, I appreciate you guys for listening, and I'll pass.